Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode, potentially the last episode of the season for the NBL News Podcast, joined by Jackson Naden once again. What's going on, guys?
Some interesting games. I didn't watch the full game. I watched a 12-minute recap, but still, worth it.
Yeah, two very interesting final series games. We'll talk about them later, but it's looking like one of those series, like, the regular season where the home team couldn't catch a break. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it pans out.
And this could be our last episode of this year, or of this season, if whoever wins the next two games in a row. Otherwise, we'll go to a game five on Wednesday. I don't know why I put it on Wednesday, but so be it. But let's talk about games one and two of this grand final series so far. Game one, huge win by the Breakers away from home. I think most people didn't predict this result, but it was the Will McDowell White show that game. They just, Chase Buford and the Kings just didn't have, the right kind of areas to stop him, and he just dominated it in every way, in every form. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, rebound and an assist off a triple-double. I think it would have been the only triple-double in a final series in a 10-minute era, I believe.
Yeah, I would
maybe
say
CJ
so.
Jackson had one, I'm not sure.
Nah,
but
I don't remember him having one.
Yeah, the Breakers just looked way better in that game, and I guess, what were your thoughts on this one, Jackson?
It was a very interesting game with just how it panned out and how well New Zealand did on Xavier Cooks, because me personally believing coming into this series he was going to dominate like he did against Tassie last year. But that just wasn't the case. They were stopping him on his dribble. They were passing lanes, everything. And McDowell White's game was sensational. And, it's not very often that we get a triple-double, or at least close to a triple-double in the NBL. So it was great to see that, the underdogs in this series, if you want to call them that, got the first win. And it made the series, even though they lost game two, it's going to make it very interesting to see how it goes. And didn't Jarrell Brantley also have a big game, or am I just making that up?
In game one?
Yeah.
Kind of. He had 16 points, 7 boards. Barry Brown was a bit better with 19 for them.
Yeah.
Other than that, there was no...
I was thinking game two, I think.
Yeah. Sydney, on the other hand, Justin Simon was their best player, while as Cooks, who's been in the headlines for obvious reasons, we'll get in a minute, only had the 8 points, 4 rebounds. And, of course, you can say he's injured with that ankle that's been sore since that Cairns series. But still, if you're the MVP, putting up 8 points and 4 boards in 28 minutes, and DJ Vasiljevic only putting up 11, it's not going to win you games. But different story in game two. Aiden, what do you think of game one?
Well, I watched most of that recap video, because I didn't see the whole game. But looking at the stats, no one could really hit a shot for Sydney. Like, they didn't shed the ball around, but like DJ only had 10 shots in total. That's not, DJ's numbers. Like, 10 is probably what he gets in a quarter, let alone a game. Then New Zealand, like, Will McDowell-White proved why, he was the true point guard that they needed, and he wasn't getting the minutes he deserved last season. But, yeah, very good game from the Breakers.
We'll move on to game two then on the Sunday, and putrid performance from the Breakers. I guess you can say from the Kings played pretty ordinary too. I mean, Breakers had 9 points at quarter time, and it was a very low scoring affair throughout the game. It looked like the Breakers were going to score maximum 50 at one stage, but they scored 33 in the last quarter. So what do they have? What's my math? 74 minus 33, that's 41 at three quarter time, which is, not even a half time score. So, yeah. Not the best of games from the Breakers offensively wise. I mean, Barry Brown and Brantley went off in that last quarter. Brantley had 20 and 6. Brown had 21. I think most of those points came in the last quarter. But they shut down Will McDowell-White. Chase Buford realized what he needed to do. He, pushed guys like Sean Bruce way above that 3-point line and held. I think how many turnovers did Will McDowell have? He had six turnovers compared to his first game where he had zero turnovers. So complete change of how they play defense on Will McDowell in that second game and won them game. I mean, six turnovers. Will McDowell is the guy that is, you know, the main player that is affecting this series. If he's having a good game, Brake's going to win. If he's having a bad game, Sydney's got to win. I think that's going to be kind of the thing that happens throughout the rest of the series here. And if, you know, we also talk about the injuries, Walton and Cooks barely played that game too with injuries in the first quarter. Jackson, I'll go to you again. I mean, your thoughts on game two, a lot to talk about here, but
yeah. Yes. So
talk about Will McDowell White first, six turnovers compared to that first game where it was just, you know, clean game.
Yeah, well there was a stark difference between games one and two and the way Sydney defended him. And it was very interesting to see that, you know, they gave Simon to him straight away and he just ran with him the entire game. And the amount of times Simon would get a steal and not just off McDowell White, but he would get a steal, go up the other end and dunk it or lay it in. There was like three in a row, I want to say, at one stage in the third quarter, mid third quarter.
And championship quarter.
Yeah. And he had six steals. He was one steal off tying the NBL Finals record period, not 40 minutes, 48 minutes. Like, that's incredible to think that could happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how much of that is due to Simon and Hart? How much of that is due to New Zealand being terrible? You know, you can
I think it's more Sydney defensive-wise.
I mean, the pressure that they put on him was
the drop coverage has been a major talking point.
And here's one thing that you didn't mention, but like you slightly said, you know, they only scored 41 points in like three quarters. Both teams were like 1-0, like 5 minutes into the first quarter. And that was ridiculous.
Or to like be fair to Sydney though. No Cooks, no Walton. Their top scorer was Kuyatnoi, go off the bench, who is a true six man in the league. 20 points, 4 rebounds. Vasiljevic, 16 points. He had to step up, and he did. Simon, he was probably the best player. 12 points, 9 boards, 6 assists. 6 steals. And he showed why he should have won Defensive Player of the Year, at least top three.
And the guy that doesn't get all the credit, but he probably should, is Jordan Hunter with 10 rebounds. Yeah. Like, he didn't put on a show offensively, but what he was doing rebounding-wise and defensively was really good. And, like, he's played himself into a position where, you know, he's basically there now. He's basically their center over Suarez. And incredible and great to see. And it just leads into, we'll talk about Cook signing with Washington, but like, for game three and game four and potentially game five, how much are they going to play Cooks? How much are they going to play Walton? And are they going to switch Suarez? Yeah, if they do play. And are they going to switch Suarez and Hunter in the starting five? Like, that's thought process around that. And for New Zealand, like, do they just say screw it and start Barry Brown, even though he had shocking first half in terms of percentages and all that stuff? But he came good in the fourth when the game was, you know, basically effectively over. And like, do they start him over Abercrombie or Rupert? But they do need that defense. But
one thing I'll add, plus minus here, I know it's not, you know, maybe a major stat to mention, but Brantley was plus 12, Barry Brown was minus 8, and I feel like Barry Brown was probably like minus 20 odd at 3-point time. And he just got a few crazy shots in, and I just can't tell if the Breakers are better or not with Barry Brown. Aiden, what do you think? You think the Breakers are better or not with Barry Brown in the team?
It depends who they play though, because matchup wise, I don't think like Sydney can have multiple defenders. I mean, like a good Galloway, like Simon, like a good even Glover if they wanted to. Like they can cover Brown more than like other teams could. But I think Barry will stay off the bench. Maybe he start Leoff. I don't know if he's been starting, but Leoff, I could start the defense and stop Sydney's bleed. But who knows? Repair 4 minutes on Sunday. Did he get injured or just didn't play?
I think he just didn't get the minutes. Just wasn't the game. Like, it was just a bad offensive game for both teams throughout. Defense won the game there for Sydney. As I said, the main talking point before was that drop coverage. And look, they did that a lot in game one, and that led to an unreal game from Will McDowell-White. They played more tighter. They try and double team him when he has the ball at the top. And look what happened. 6 turnovers, 6 steals to Justin Simon.
Yeah.
And that changes the game. So it will be interesting. No update on Cooks or Walton as we speak. I wonder if the Wizards will get to in a minute and actually know that Cooks is injured at the minute and not 100%. But do you think those two guys will play at all, Cooks, Walton?
I think Cooks will. I'm not sure about Walton.
I just want to say about Walton, the commentary team was saying like, oh, he's got a cramp in his quad. But like, you can't have a cramp in your quad after 3 days break or like a day's break. Like, it cannot be a continuous, you know, it cannot be a cramp in your quad and that's what's the injury. It can't be that. There has to be something else. Because my initial thoughts when I saw the injury was that he dislocated his hip. But, you know,
I thought it would look more like a hamstring injury of some sort.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, A, maybe the terminology that they use, and B, what the actual injury may be.
Maybe they just thought they didn't need to use him. They were up. They were playing good basketball at the stage when he came off. I think they were up by 12 or so.
Yeah.
Double digits. And you know, they kept that lead throughout the rest of the game. And it's just like, why play Walton and Cooks when we've got this lead now? So maybe that was the reasoning. I think if it was a game five and it was, you know, and they were down by 10 or so points in the second or third, they probably would have played again. So, yeah, wonder what happens with those two. Look, we want two full healthy teams in the grand final. It makes it a great competition, but it was very intriguing to see Sydney win that game without those two players, and see what Moni Mayor changes to game three to make sure they win that. But what's the predictions for us this series? What do we say?
No, we're staying the same predictions.
Staying the same? I say Breakers in four still.
I might as well still stick with Sydney in four.
Okay. I'll change my MVP though, but that's...
yeah, saying... I'm Cooks is not winning MVP.
You saying Breakers in four, Aiden?
I said five.
Five. Okay. So if you're saying Breakers in five, who are you saying wins these next two? In Sydney. Is Sydney winning
Sydney in Sydney? Sydney will win at home. And then Broncos win Boston.
Yeah. MVP so far, I think for Sydney, Justin Simon, easily. 100%. He had a good game one despite the loss. And obviously he was the best player in game two.
Well, most of the Sydney players have all played in the final series. Like Norrie did for Cairns a few years ago. Then most of them, you know, said back. And then Justin Simon at Aura.
Mm. They got good experience compared to the Breakers. That's a good point. Breakers, I don't know. If Breakers win at this stage, it's tough. It's definitely between McDowell-White, Brantley, and Brown. Oh, I don't know. What do you reckon?
Well, my dark horse won't win it, so unless he comes out of nowhere, it gets
tripped off. 30-point game.
How atrocious was your hot take? Probably your worst hot take ever.
It's called hot takes for a reason.
15-8. What did he get? 4 points, 0 points in 4 minutes or whatever it was. So.
It's called hot takes for a reason, Evan.
No, who do we think at the moment, if you had to give MVP out for the Breakers?
I'd say Brantley, just because of consistency between two games so far.
Very early, though, in the series still.
Oh, yeah. At least two games. It's way too early to say it.
But, yeah. Right. Game three is on Friday. Game four on Sunday. Big crowds expected for that one, attendance-wise as well. 16K. Plus expected, 13K already sold, 13K's tickets already sold for that game on Friday at Kudos Bank Arena. And Paul Smith says they are expecting to have the biggest crowd at an NBL Grand Final ever. And I think it will be a top five NBL crowd, I think third or fourth crowd in NBL history if it gets the right numbers. So they'll be great. And the Breakers, on the other hand, they've opened the curtain. They haven't opened that back curtain in 10 years since they last won a championship. And there's a couple hundred or thousand more seats behind there. So
yeah, I've got numbers on this. So
yeah, 9.3K is the record, which they had against Perth in one of the years they're in the grand final.
And their capacity is 9.74, I think. Yeah. 9,740. So
I don't think they'll get to that number, but I think I can see them breaking 9,300.
Yeah.
And that will be the, you know, that they are saying they're expecting that number anyway. And
get a roof up, you know?
Yeah, that will be the biggest crowd ever in for a basketball game in New Zealand. So hopefully those two attendance records happen. That'll be great to see. Shows how big the NBL has gone to. You know, you can say the 90s era was that the NBL's best, but you look at it now, attendance records being broken left, right, and center in this current grand final series. So good to see. Big news of the week, obviously, Xavier Cooks signs with the Washington Wizards, not for a 10-day, not for the rest of the season, but a guaranteed 2-year deal for him. Congratulations to him. A lot of people questioning whether he deserves it or not, or if he is still an NBA talent. But the thing that's annoying me the most personally is that tall poppy syndrome is still very evident in the Australian kind of sphere for poppy people. If you don't know what tall poppy syndrome is, it's basically where Australians just hate to bring down people that succeed or, you know, make it to the next big thing. And that's what I think has happened with Cooks in the NBA. Like, why aren't we celebrating, you know, now 11 Aussies in the NBA, another Aussie going to the league, worked his way up through the NBL last three seasons to get to this point, sign a 2-year deal, we'll probably get some good rotation minutes at Washington. Yet we got to say, you know, he's got to be giving away more burgers over in the US. He can't shoot, yada, yada. The comments are just so against him being in the NBA, and I just don't like it. There's probably 10% of the comments are congratulating him on making it, and that's kind of frustrating for me. But I'll go to you first, Adam. What are your thoughts on Xavier Cook signing in the NBA? Did it surprise you at all? Any other thoughts on it?
Didn't surprise me. Maybe the team, but he could become like Jayson Tate, like over there. He could be the next Jayson Tate, but in terms of, you know, ability wise, he won't get like big time minutes, I don't reckon, to start, at least for the first season.
Definitely
maybe
not this
second
season.
Yeah. But it'll be good for him. It'll be, you know, I can't wait to see how he goes. And I'll be cheering from him, you know, back, you know, even in a graphic space. But yeah, happy for him.
Jackson?
In terms of it surprising me, it didn't surprise me that he's made it to the NBA. It did surprise me with A, the team, and B, the timing.
Yeah,
I always was under the impression that he would do what Landale did and perform for the Boomers and get noticed through that. You know, like, yes, he could win MVP this season. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, when he goes and dominates at the World Cup, that's when he will get noticed. But I'm really happy for him. And I'm really happy that we've got another Aussie in the NBA. We've got 10, 11 now. If we want to say Jack White, yes, he's on a two-way deal, but we'll count him, and that's 11. So we've basically got an NBL roster of players in the NBA. You know, 11 makes up an NBL roster.
You can have a full Boomers team at the World Cup with NBA players, bar one.
Yeah. Like, it's getting to the point where, like, it's the US, obviously, and then it's Canada, then it's Australia, and then it's Spain.
I mean, is France? No. France is up there. France has got.
I think France
digits.
Dropped off.
I'm pretty sure France is as a
little. Well, no, it was France. It was France. Not Spain. It was. Now it's
I
Australia
think
still has 11
more than Australia next year anyway.
Well, Spain
yeah,
dropped
because
off
Wemby
of,
and Repair.
Yeah. Spain has dropped off a bit. There's still got a few, but you know, it's good to see 11 Aussies in the NBA, and it's great to see. And you know, people saying he's too old to go in the NBA too.
Joe Ingles was his age. Was
yeah, two
Cook's
players
age
that come
when
to
he
mind.
Made
he can still have an outstanding NBA career.
Yeah,
I look at a guy like my example that came straight to my mind is Torrey Craig, played I think it was 3 years in the NBL. Yeah, he's played 2 years with Cairns, 1 year with the Bullets, same as Xavier Cooks. And he came into the league at similar age, 26, 27, worked his way into there, and look where he is now. You know, he's you know, six-man starter kind of role on the Phoenix Suns, a stacked team that is expected to be a championship contender this year, and he's been a huge piece for the Nuggets and the like, for the teams he's played for in the past few years. So I think Xavier Cooks has a good chance of being, you know, having a Torrey Craig or Joe Ingles-like career. I think he has the potential to be a starter. And, you know, people say he's too old to, you know, he's 27. He's got at least 5 years in the NBA there. And that's enough time to win, you know, be a major piece, you know, sixth man, seventh man on a championship team. I think he is capable of being that player. So I think you guys can see that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can as well.
But yeah, good to see Cooks in the Wizards. And hopefully we get to see a bit more minutes from him this year.
It just means another collection for the guy that collects Australian basketball players' jerseys.
A few re-signings during the week too. The big one, Adam Ford. No surprise with this one at all. I did expect it to be 4 years or 10 years, whatever the max year was. But no, only the 2 years for Adam Ford back in Cairns. You guys got anything to add about that?
Well deserved.
Yep.
Fantastic to see.
Yep. Tyrell Harrison this morning re-signed with the Brisbane Bullets on a 2 year deal. This one did surprise me. This one really did. I thought if they were gonna re-sign him, I would have you know, waited a bit, you know, at least let free agency start to see the market out there. And maybe see how he goes in the, I think he's playing for the Franklin Bulls in the New Zealand NBL this season.
Yep.
This offseason, and see how he goes there, because he's been injured the last 2 years. And especially when you got a guy like Gorgeous Gack, who you should be bringing back first before Tyrell Harrison. Very interesting stuff. Aiden, what are your thoughts on, especially 2 year deal for him as well? Aiden, what do you think for Tyrell Harrison to Brisbane?
He's always had the potential. It's just always been banged up. He's still young, I think. I don't think he's that old. But,
he's pretty young. I think he's 25.
You're 25, 26. Something, because he's been at Brisbane for ever since he was like 18. Yeah. He's, I don't know. It's a weird one, because I think Gak should have been in priority signing. But
we're way off. He's 23.
Well, he's still young regardless. That's my point. Yeah. He was at Brisbane when he was like 18. He's been there. Yeah,
he's been there since, since 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. He's been there for a while. Yeah, I thought he would have, you know, would have wanted a fresh start, maybe back in New Zealand, but
I thought Brisbane maybe, you know, he's had six seasons there. He hasn't been, you know, there's been I think there was a year where he started for them during that COVID season.
Yeah, during that Hodgson, yeah.
I'm not sure about this re-signing. He does, when he is healthy, he can be a really good big, but I don't know. Jackson, what do you think?
The thing is that when you've already got a center like Aaron Baines on your team, who is also an injury-prone center at the moment, and he's not going to play above 25 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And you'd much rather want a difference, like a Gorgeous Gack at five. Where, you know, you can kind of go small ball with him, you know, he's 6'11 or whatever, you know, he's still tall, but he can run like he can run like lightning. He is quick. He can shoot the three. He can swat shots everywhere. He's athletic, you know, but with Harrison, it's kind of just, you know, oh, Baines needs his break. Let's bring in, you know, Baines light. And I think Harrison would have definitely gone well with the change of scenery.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I think
maybe Perth,
I reckon, a bench five.
Yeah.
Like, he could have really worked there. So,
well, the difference between Gack and Harrison is like 4 years in age. So they've got
it's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. But in terms of, you got Aaron Baines now, you know, you want someone next to him that's healthy, has the ability to start over him, and that perfect guy is Quadra Gack. And why would you want Gack to leave anyway? You know, why wouldn't you re-sign him after his, you know, great season?
Interesting. Could be one-sided. Decision,
but I think he'll go to another team, but we'll see what happens with him. But the other re-signing, Nick Marshall, that one was no surprise. I think he was already signed to on a deal anyway with Adelaide, but South Australian boy re-signs on a three-year deal, I think it was. Two or three?
He's there
for a long time. Three. So he's got the longest contract in the NBL at the moment, which is deserved. He showed his potential, especially in that preseason game against Overtime Elite early in the year. And due to that game, a lot of scouts in that building, he may get a summer league call. That's maybe a hot take. That should have been my hot take this week. But I think he's young. He's athletic. He reminds me of kind of a style of Mitch Creek, I guess. He has the potential to, well, not probably be as good as Mitch Creek, but this style of play, good re-signing. Good to get an SA boy, South Australia boy, in the team for a while. And you guys got anything to add about that?
Just keeping local talent close by.
That's what Adelaide need, 100%. I wonder how old, do you guys know how old Nick Marshall is?
25? Early 20s.
Early 20s?
You think early 20s?
Let me look it up. I'll have a quick look. I think it's like 24, 25. He's not young, but he's not old.
I think he's 25, 24, I believe.
He's 23.
He's a bit older than I thought, but still, he's got a lot of potential. Overseas moves as well. The one that shocked this morning, reported from ESPN's Olgan Ulick, Chris Goulding going to play under Will Weaver. How funny is that? Under Will Weaver in Paris, for Paris. The team's is called Paris Basketball. But they're mid-table in France, decent team. And I don't think Goulding's played anywhere other than Melbourne United since he played in Spain.
I'd say so.
Which was about 8 years ago. So this one definitely surprised me that he's playing in. This is for the rest of the season. Obviously, he's playing for Melbourne United next season. But, interesting one for me that he's going to Paris. You guys' thoughts on that one?
It's a very unique one because I didn't think he'd go to Europe, but it is what it is.
I think we're just in shock because he's not a guy which you would think would go overseas. Mm. Like, I don't.
He's never played NBL 1 either.
Yeah.
In recent years, like last 10
years.
Well,
I don't think he would play like an NBL 1 type thing, though. That's the thing.
Well, guys like Mitch Creek has, you know, even Scott Machado and that have played.
No, but Creek did it young in his career when Creek was.
Creek did it 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, but that was before you did it off. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like long term, like, I think he played like two games, Creek, and then left.
Yeah. You guys go with your hot takes first.
You guys can laugh at me again, but. On a triple double from McDowell White or Cooks too in the series.
Right. Is there any?
If not, both, but that's the more hot take. So I'm going to go one, two.
Do you have a game for that? Or do
I want to say game four? One of them is going to get a triple double game four.
Right.
What was it? Sorry.
McDowell White or Cooks to get a triple double game four.
Game four, not game three.
So in a do or die game.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to go next?
Yep.
So today, St. Mary's played BYU in the semi-final of the West Coast tournament to basically get them a spot in the March Madness tournament. And I've got a hot take surrounding March Madness and surrounding St. Mary's, in which they will make the Elite Eight.
Okay, that's not NBL related, but sure.
I mean, it is. Like, you look at how many guys have come from St. Mary's and are going to come from St. Mary's next season.
I guess so.
They've got Tyler Johnson's younger brother, Logan.
Yep.
They've got Dukas. They've got Bowen. They've got Harry Wessels, who's a WA centre. They're getting Rory Hawke next year, who's played for the Boomers. And they've got a few other, you know, guys coming through. So go Gales.
Fair enough. That's probably the first college hot take and only college hot take we'll ever get. But
I know.
There you go. Something different. You know what? I'll stick with the one I was going to say before. Nick Marshall will play Summer League this season. This off season, I think. Well, maybe not Summer League, but at least an NBA workout. I think he'll get a workout with an NBA team. And as I said before, mainly due to the fact that that game he had against Overtime Elite, where he was unreal, and you know, his young potential he has. If he has the right agent, I think he can get a workout for an NBA team.
Who is his agent? Is it same?
Don't know. Probably should know.
Who his agent is. It's probably Moldovan. One of them.
If it is Moldovan, he is 100% getting an NBA workout. Maybe a Summer League deal. But I don't know who his agent is. Someone can.
I'm gonna have a stall
for me.
Yeah.
But we'll do rapid five while you look that up. Yep. Does Gorjak Gak return to Brisbane next season?
No.
Yeah, no, look, you asked me that last week. I said yeah, but not anymore.
Does Justin Simon stay in the NBL next season?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
For the Sydney Kings?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's going perfect.
Are the Breakers? I did ask this before, but are the Breakers better or worse without Barry Brown?
They're fine with him. I don't reckon they're not. I reckon.
Yeah, they're better with him offensively in terms of structure.
And what do you say?
They're better with him.
All right.
Like it's like the whole like look. It's not like the Craig Reynolds situation. It's a bit different.
Who has been the better coach in this series so far?
Ooh.
Modi.
Because okay. How he handles himself in the press conference, that's what I'm going to say.
Interesting. I would have suggested Buford by far, but has this been the best grand final series since 2018?
No.
No. It was a better final series. Oh, grand final series. Oh.
2019. United and Perth went for...
That's 2018.
No, it was 18-19, that one.
Oh, 19. Okay. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's what. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I mean, since the Adelaide-Melbourne one.
Ooh.
No, there's still too much to go to say on that.
Okay.
Wait till after tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll do. Well, most likely, well, should we say most likely?
You said most likely, and you just cursed yourself. Now it's going to go game five.
Well, this could be last episode seasonal. Of the season, of this season. We appreciate everyone that has tuned in throughout the year. And if you're still listening to this point, very thankful for listening in and listening to us yap about garbage for, you know, half an hour to an hour. But you guys got anything to add?
Never trust my hot takes. That's all I'm going to say.
Look out for more free agency news in the coming days.
Yeah, we'll probably do a couple podcasts here and there in the free agency period. And the World Cup as well. We'll do a couple in the off season if there's some big signings. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. And if this doesn't go to game five, we'll see you guys during the off season. See ya.